Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fandom Access, the Week in Review. I am your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, another short show this week. We have The Walking Dead, Doctor Who, and Manifest, and anything else we might think to talk about. And we'll get started as soon as my lovely co-host get here. Next week's going to be short, but the following week will be jammed. Well, I don't know about jam-packed, but the following week we will have, Westworld, or is that the 15th? It might be 2 weeks. I don't know. I don't remember. But anyway, without further ado, my first co-host. Good evening.
How are you?
Oh, good. And my other co-host is here, too. Good evening. Oh, there we go. Hello, everybody.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
It's time for Fandom Access. Yay.
Yep.
Yes, it is.
I'm trying to sound enthused, but I have a bad headache again. That's why I'm just like, yay. Or at least I
feel
like
this is the highlight of the week.
Anyway. Yeah, there was some stuff on this week. But you want to start? I guess we should talk about the Doctor Who season finale, huh?
Yeah.
So
okay.
I think you feel much different than I do. It seems to be, I've started to read more people's opinions, and it seems to definitely be split among people how they feel. There's a lot going on about this regard, and when I say how they feel, because people don't like that they kind of rechanged the whole history of the show, obviously. But aside from that, the rest of the episode was obviously about the humans escaping the Cybermen and the Master telling the Doctor the truth about Gallifrey and the Time Lords, and then he made his Cybermasters. And after he got the, keep wanting to call it Cerebrium, which isn't what it's called.
Matrix.
Cyberium. Yeah. And
oh, Cyberium.
Showed
us
stuff in the mix. But yeah, but he got the Cyberium in him, and so he decided to create the Doctor or the Cybermen from the Time Lords, and she got the Death Particle and was gonna blow them all up. But Co-Seamus or whatever the guy we just called Co last week, he stepped in and did that instead. And then we get another extra TARDIS this week, and it is also has apparently its chameleon circuit works. So that's kind of the outline. But then at the end, she gets taken to jail by the Jadoon after she gets away and after she drops the her companions off at home. And we don't know how that'll end, but obviously there's a holiday episode coming up, which I really wish they wouldn't have given the name for, or rather would not have named it that, I guess is what I should say, because I don't appreciate knowing what it's about before it's on. So.
Oh, I already forgot. We had a discussion about it, and I already forgot what it's called, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's called
much.
Resolution of the Daleks, so.
Oh, yeah, the Daleks.
Yeah, so I think it's about the Cybermen. Yeah. I mean, come on, like, do they have to do that? Most people might not care. I don't know. I care. Okay, so...
Well, I mean, they always do that.
Well, they don't always put it in the title. I mean, they usually show it in the preview, but this is, like, way ahead, you know?
Yeah.
Although, I guess there might not be Cybermen at all, though. Which I guess that part they kind of ended. So why don't you start by you telling me why you don't like it, and then I'll kind of defend
I
do.
I mean, I shouldn't say that I completely don't like it. So I... I think a lot of people really like this episode. It seems to, from what I haven't really followed any posts or blogs or anything about it because I'm super busy at work and don't have time to like mess around on the internet this week. But from what little I've seen, it does seem to have been a very well received episode, and people mostly seem to like a lot of what they saw. I mean, rewriting the Doctor's history, it's hard to get too mad about that because it's a thing that happens kind of a lot on Doctor Who. It's not without precedent for a showrunner to just sort of change stuff, right? Excuse me, I'm going to cough for a second here. One second.
Yeah, people tend to forget that, I think. But yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Get a glass of water. So, I mean, this, but this was a really, really big rewrite. I mean,
Yeah.
You know, okay, so they found a way to give the Doctor more regenerations. Well, it wasn't really necessary because the Doctor already just got a whole another set of regenerations only like 5 years ago, right? Like when the Doctor became Capaldi, he got a whole new set of regenerations.
That,
so,
yeah.
I mean, there are many ways to get around the corners that Doctor Who has been painted into over the years. This is a huge, huge, huge rewrite. And, you know, on the one hand, you kind of got to admire Chris Chibnall's nerve. He's been at the reins of the Doctor not very long. It's not like a Stephen Moffat who was, what, like over 10 years, right, at the helm to take that step. But Chibnall's really still sort
all,
of like...
But...
okay, Moffat and was with it a long time, and you know.
But yeah, he's.
But in your
been
second season,
changing things.
It's nervy, and on the one hand, I admire it. On the other hand, I'm like, okay, you have not earned the right to make this change to Doctor Who yet. I found it kind of boring. I think is my main complaint with this episode.
Really?
Was most.
I thought there was
this
so much. I thought it was the opposite of boring.
Yeah, and it was mostly the Master giving exposition. I really don't like that the Doctor stood literally immobilized for at least half of the episode, unable to move or speak for most of the episode. You know, she did like speak to the Master in sort of like her mind, but. I've had a constant complaint through the entire season of the Doctor not having enough agency and not like really like being the smartest person in the room and being that like frenetic, like, you know, overconfident, like, this Doctor, we have watched many episodes where she like stands around and worries until the last 5 minutes when she solves it. And I just felt like she didn't really do anything for most of the episode. It bothered me. I also, like, I'm a little over Sacha Dhawan's Master. So Missy is my favorite Master, right? This Master, Sacha Dhawan's Master, is much more like the guy before, John Sims?
Sim? That's not his real name. That's the character's name, but yeah.
Yeah. In the, you know, the totally, like, scenery chewing craziness of him, but I felt like he's like I was getting like a Negan Walking Dead feeling, like I was like, oh my god,
really?
Shut up, just shut up, like he never stopped. I have liked him a lot until this episode. In this episode, I started to feel I've liked him a lot this season, but I kind of like, oh my god, shut up. I do appreciate they brought this new level to the Master where, like, I mean, we know the Master is crazy, and the Master, like, lacks motivation usually. The Master's just crazy and likes to destroy stuff because he's just crazy and a jerk, right? And that's sort of the way the Master has usually been. Missy had a little more layers to her. And I did really like that they gave, like, if you're going to rewrite the Doctor, I liked how they made the Master, like, the Master is just so mad that his abilities come from the Doctor. Like, in the end, it turns out the Master was created, like all the Time Lords, from the Doctor's DNA, right? And so I did like that little twist, and it gave him some, like, some real motivation and reason for his meanness. I thought the Cybermen, like, ended up not being the Cybermen story felt a little tacked on.
They weren't quite as the main villain, I guess you could say.
Yeah, they weren't the main villain, and they did feel to me a little bit tacked on. They're like, oh, shoot, we got to solve the Cybermen story also here at the last minute.
Yeah,
and they didn't have
3 episodes to solve it. I will say they could have solved it last week and then just had them. I mean, I get what they did, and I thought there was a lot going on. I don't know. I thought it was really fast-paced, but they could have probably finished part of it before.
I mean, truly, my favorite parts of the episode, though, were when we cut to the companions and the Cybermen. While I was a little bit like, can we wrap up the Cybermen, the best parts of it were the companions fighting the Cybermen. And it was one of the first times you and I both have problems with the competing storylines of the companions taking up too much time and making it hard to get to know them. And this may have been the best.
Fit a lot better.
Yeah. It fit really well in this episode. So that's my sort of short version there.
Okay. I'll tell my version. Okay. I agree. It kind of seems strange to me that they stretched the Cybermen out for 3 episodes only to kind of sideline them a bit. I mean, I get how it kind of had to, since it was, you know, his story with them, they had to kind of do it that way, but it might be, maybe could have been done a bit differently.
I'm going to interrupt you for just 1 second. The Cybermen were the season finale. Like, they're always the season finale. Like, they were the Bill season finale, like, 2 years in a row. Like, could we get a new season finale besides the Cybermen?
The big, one of the big bads. Well, the thing is, I didn't mind that so much. And I do agree. I enjoyed the humans fighting them. I really liked Graham this time, is like the one, you know, this is what we're going to do. And I really liked that. And I liked his conversation with the ass.
Yes.
I really liked that they put on the suits. Especially because nobody's ever really thought about that. They might have once a long time ago. I can't remember. But, like, she's like, there's dead bodies in there. And then you have to think, like, yeah, that's really gross, but it worked. And I like that they did that. But aside from that, I mean, I don't know. The Master storyline didn't bother me like it did to you. I like that he is, as much as he's crazy, and yes, he's definitely like over the top crazy, but that's how the Master always is. But like, he's also really, really dark this time.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one thing I keep thinking as he's doing all this is all he wants is revenge and isn't really thinking, I guess, I mean, he's crazy, of course he's not, but I mean, really thinking things through, because I kind of think, like, you want to kill everybody, everything organic, not just humans, but I mean, everybody. What is the point? Like, once you conquer everything, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? Like, then he's going to have to turn on the other people.
What are you
going to
rule over?
I think he's going a little far. And the fact that he could split his mind was a little strange to me, but I thought maybe that's why he's crazy. Who knows? I don't know. I didn't mind that he had her so she couldn't move or whatever and told her the story. My thing is with the story is I also have to commend Chibnall for being willing to make such big moves and change the show so much. But the one thing I keep saying to people, and I've heard some people agree with me, some people don't, but a lot of people keep saying, you know, they rewrote canon and all this. But I don't feel like that's necessarily true, because everything that happened, other than the fact of where the Doctor, like, originally came from, everything else that we've learned has happened and is true. It's just this happened before that. You know, things that we didn't know about happened previously. And to me, this is no different than adding the War Doctor, because all along we were told there's been this many Doctors, and then suddenly there was a Doctor that existed that was before Matt Smith that he couldn't face, so therefore we knew nothing about it, and everybody was fine with it. And to me, this is almost the same thing, saying there's a bunch of, I mean, granted, they're saying it was a bunch, but there was a bunch of other Doctors before this. And it doesn't bother me, because I don't feel like it really rewrote. I mean, yes, like I said, obviously it rewrote the fact that she's not exactly a Time Lord, that they came from her, and she's not the last, she's the first. So that part, obviously, is different. But overall, the main things aren't. And I feel like Doctor Who is always about change. I mean, we get a different actor how often. The only thing I kind of would have liked to have seen, and I don't know, it's just kind of my own thoughts of what I thought was going to happen. I thought that when they showed, like, the ones from the Division or, you know, whatever, I thought that somehow the Master was going to be wrapped up in whatever it was, her being the Timeless Child, especially because they named it Timeless Children, because I almost thought it would have been interesting if, like, they were both that way, and because they were, like, opposite sides of the coin or whatever, and obviously that didn't happen. But I liked the story. I liked the way they did it. It was confusing with the whole memory that was like from Ireland that was kind of the filter or whatever, but to know that, you know, every time they've basically tortured her and taken all her memories, it's really sad. I mean, that's not, you know, that's a lot, that's heavy, and I like how they did the whole thing. I'm trying to think what else it was I had written here. And the other thing is that I noticed, and I meant to look up the quote and I forgot exactly what she said, but when the Doctor's talking to the other Doctor, I just started calling her Joe in my head because the actress's
Ruth.
Name is Joe Martin.
Ruth.
But yeah, Ruth, Dr. Ruth, as people were calling her. She had this quote when the Doctor was upset. I don't remember exactly what it was, but she said something to the effect of, you don't like what you're hearing because it doesn't match up with what you already know, or something to that effect that she said. And it makes me think of when, in Deep Breath, when Clara first sees the Doctor, like, she's like, why is he old? And I feel like that was the audience's point of view of kind of getting used to this change. And I almost feel like Dr. Ruth was talking to the audience and saying, you might be pissed, but it's only because it's different and you just have to get over it in a way. Because that's kind of how I feel with the people. I'm like, you know, he is the showrunner. He has just as much right as any other showrunner to do what he wants. And I feel like people are getting too upset over it. I mean,
yeah.
I understand if you're
okay,
a long-time
I agree with you,
fan,
but
I
he has
get
to suffer.
You being upset. Sorry,
yeah,
guys.
I'm sorry. I was talking over you. Please finish.
Okay. No, I was just going to say, you don't have to like what he did. I mean, a lot of people don't. And I can understand if you've been a super fan for a long time that it may upset you. And granted, I haven't watched the original series, so I don't know how it fits in with that. I've said that before because I don't want people to think I have. I haven't. But it's kind of like, in my opinion, he has a right to do it, and you either like it or you don't. But people are like, I'm ignoring this canon. You can't ignore it. It's still canon. You just have to either watch it or not watch it, you know? And he's done a lot of things. I mean, he's the one that brought us the female doctor, too. I know not everybody has liked everything he's done, but I do applaud him for what he has done. And there were a lot of, I think, really good things in this episode. And the other thing I wanted to mention really quick, and then you can say what you were going to say,
mm-hmm.
is I did like that they had a chameleon circuit working. It's my understanding that when she sent them back in the TARDIS, it must have came back to get her. Because I don't think there were three TARDISes. I mean, there could have been because
yes,
she was on Gallifrey. Okay.
She sent them in a spare.
The one that went as a house, I thought came back to get her. But it probably stayed and it was the second one she took. But she
yeah.
left the second one as a tree. So obviously
yeah.
their community circuits are working and then she went back to her own. I'm just now kind of curious to know this whole thing with the Jadoon. Does it have to do with something she did, or is it something to do with the other doctor did? Because in a way, and I say in a way, she kind of committed genocide. I mean, the Time Lords were, I guess, dead in a sense, but she still, like, sort of killed all the Cybermen, you know what I mean? And that's
well,
the other thing I did want to mention. I'm not sure I really liked the whole Time Lords Cybermen thing. That was a bit much for me. Sorry, go ahead.
They were already dead, and that's a major pull. That's a major problem. So the Time Lords have been wiped out before
yeah.
and come and not been wiped out, right? So
yeah, and
I
now
mean,
this time she's technically kind of wiped them out.
And the Time Lords are total jerks, and they're kind of the worst, right? So
yeah.
it's not like I really, like, mourn the loss of the Cybermen. My understanding is they were, in fact, dead, but the Master kept them, like, frozen until their bodies could be used. Now, these are some of the
but
problems I have.
Committed genocide on the Cybermen. Not that that matters to anybody, but I'm just wondering
well,
if
not,
that's maybe part
is
of
is that genocide? They're not a race. They're human. Like, they're not, I mean, they're
they
like
were,
the
they did
Borg.
Have human brains until I think this last part, because
mm-hmm.
he was taking out all the,
yeah.
well, I don't know, though. He was taking out all the organic, but at the same time,
I don't think
the Time Lord
genocide.
They had organic, so I don't think he had done it yet. No, I'm just wondering if that's why they arrested her. Not that it was right or it makes any sense.
No.
I just that was
I think
my
she,
first thought.
I think she freed enslaved dead people to be at peace. But
that's
I crazy. Mean, there's so many holes in this, which is kind of typical of Doctor Who. But I think there were too many. How exactly did the Master destroy all of Gallifrey? And how did he? First of all, how did he escape from like the Nazis or wherever he was the last time? That's still not answered, right? But I guess the Doctor always escapes. The Master always escapes.
But
we have to accept it.
Yeah, those kind
but
of things.
How did he? How did he take over Gallifrey and destroy it? How do you kill the Time Lords? Why didn't any of them regenerate? Like, how did he kill all of the Time Lords who can regenerate? And
I don't know. That's
right? Like, that didn't, like, where did he freeze them and how did he freeze them? Like, did he install giant freezers without them knowing somehow? Like, how
yeah,
were there
actually,
freezing facilities on
and
Gallifrey?
And he did it really quick, too, right? It would actually make more sense if they had been alive and he took their bodies, but he made a point of saying they were dead, so I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's a good point.
And the Jadoon, so I don't really mind the Jadoon as an enemy. I find them entertaining and kind of scary and good, but I don't understand, like, they're playing fast and loose with the TARDIS this year also, because, like, the TARDIS, you can't,
they should
how
be
do
able
they
to come
beam,
in.
They shouldn't be able to come to the TARDIS. The TARDIS is fully protected. The TARDIS, like, there have been so many episodes where the Doctor can't get to the TARDIS, and yet other times the TARDIS just shows up when it's needed. Like, the TARDIS is a very, they're playing kind of loose with it, and yeah, there's no way somebody should be able to get inside the TARDIS.
Yeah, but
so
maybe
that
it's because of police force, or maybe the TARDIS let them in for some reason. I mean, we don't even
know
why.
They're
but yes,
stupid,
I definitely agree
and
with
she
what
tricked
you're
them, like, 10... The Jadoon are stupid, and she tricked them, like, 10 times the last time we saw them, right? And, like,
right,
I don't believe that they found a way to, like, get into the TARDIS. I guess that'll be explained in the next episode. That's the cliffhanger, right?
That's why I'm confused. It has to do with the Daleks, too, apparently. But
I mean, maybe the Daleks... Maybe the Daleks have sent them to capture the Doctor in a totally unrelated, like, caper.
Yeah,
that's, you know...
Well, people are saying maybe it should do with what Dr. Ruth did. We don't really know, but I would think that would have been sort of part of a different timeline. But the one thing I kind of I would have liked to have seen, I know they couldn't do it, but I actually was really interested in how the Doctor was ready to blow him up, because she was ready to kill him. And like I said, I guess that you're right, the Time Lords aren't alive or anything, but she was ready to wipe the planet out. And I think she might have really done it. And she's always like, you know, no against weapons. And this she's time, she's like, I'm willing to do it. For you know, to stop you, I will. And I kind of would have liked to have seen that. Like, I know that there was really kind of no way to do it. But, like, even if she could have remotely detonated it or something. But I also understand they really probably don't want to do that, because it would change fundamentally who the Doctor is. I mean, even with the Daleks and that, and the whole Time War and War Doctor and all that, we found out that, like, he didn't really actually, you know, leave him there like I thought he did. He made the time bubble and all that. But I don't know. I just thought that was kind of interesting to see that side of the Doctor. I guess, though, that even though nothing can destroy them, I guess if it destroys all their organic material, it doesn't matter if they're Time Lords or not, supposedly. But I would still wonder that, they couldn't die. I mean, the Master could have went out, and I don't know that she would have died, but I wonder, too, he made a point of saying before, like, that Siberian escaped so fast and everything, I figure he probably whipped out of there. But what else was I going to say?
I love the Siberian as a plot device. It's like a big glob of mercury that floats in the air that, you know, holds all the knowledge of the Cybermen or whatever, and it's a little, like, hocus-pocus for me.
That Koshamas, though, was the one that sent it. Or Sharmas, obviously his name. Other than that, what was I going to say? I really wanted to say something. I don't remember what it was. I don't know. As for the boundary, though, I guess the boundary always was Gallifrey.
I don't know. The boundary is another,
like,
thing that is just, I mean, that was
not
Earth.
Explained.
That was a future Earth where we saw the boundary leading to Gallifrey, right? So, like, there's just a boundary between
future Earth. I'm confused.
Like, where the Cybermen are about, where Koshamas lives.
Yeah, I would say it was Earth, but Cybermen or the humans were on it.
Wow,
like,
it's the last human outpost.
Yeah, the last human outpost
or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's Earth. We've seen so many versions of Earth in this season.
Right.
At any rate, the boundary, like, one thing that, this is my least favorite season of Doctor Who, of all the seasons I've watched, and it's not Jodie Whittaker, it's a lot of Chris Chibnall's decisions that he's made, and where am I going with this? I was talking about the boundary.
I don't know,
and
but I think we feel opposite with that, because I like a lot of the story of the season.
A lot of what happened this season is the Doctor having no clue. Like, she's continually, like, we've seen so many species she's never heard of. So many she's never heard of. The Doctor has all of time and space at her disposal and is, like, minimum, like, I don't know, thousands of years old, even before we knew about this whole life she didn't even know about, right? And there's, like, every episode this 2 years, like, I like them introducing a new villain now and then, but usually the Doctor's like, oh, yeah, that's a such and such. I've heard of them. I read about them in the, you know, the library or whatever.
They're all new.
The Doctor repeatedly has no idea what's going on. She's smart and figures stuff out, but, like, the boundary seems to be, like, a big freaking deal that people should have heard of, right? It's a boundary that leads to Gallifrey. Like, there's so much the Doctor, like, how does a... And the master knows about it. Like, the doctor's always 10 steps behind the master. That's part of the thing also, right? Until the doctor, like, catches up and gets ahead.
Yeah.
I didn't like the boundary because it was just, like, magic. It's like, oh, we need to resolve this. Let's have a boundary so they can get to Gallifrey.
I think it was kind of like a wormhole, but like, or like some kind of...
Okay, whatever.
I get what you mean.
It's like a plot device that it's a...
Yeah, definitely.
You know.
But
yeah.
Now, my question now is, she found the child there. Where did she come from? Because to me, this just opens up more questions. We know now that technically the Doctor isn't a Time Lord, that the ones that only have 12 lives are Time Lords. So what is she? And that's what I want to know, is where she comes from, because we've spent the whole show thinking that her, even though they've come back to life and been re-killed again, we've thought that her race was gone, you know, and that could definitely not be the case, because we don't know what race she is. But that was the other thing I did want to mention, that I remember now what it was. I wrote it down so I didn't forget. When they decided to give the regeneration to everybody on the planet, they limited them to 12 lives. I would have liked them to have at least given an explanation for that. I mean, I kind of would like to think it's because they were smart enough to know how much living forever is a bad idea and will destroy them if they did. But
yeah, I don't know.
They just kind of didn't do it, and obviously they didn't want her to know. And I guess the thing is, from what I get out of it after reading what people have said and talking to different people, so – I don't think the Time Lords actually knew what she was, other than the people in that agency. Like, I think that they erased it from the repository or whatever, all that stuff. I think he only found it because he hacked it. So when the other ones gave her 12 regenerations, like, for all you know, they might have thought they did. I'm just kind of, like, wondering if those agency people, the division or whatever, I'm wondering if they have more lives, because otherwise they would have to explain it to subsequent, you know, subsequent people in the agency, what they were to do. Although I was kind of confused why, at first, why the cop and what was his name, the Ireland story, was
Brendan,
father, why they didn't
Brendan.
Age. Yeah, why they didn't age. But that was all part of, like, the fake story she had in her mind. So it didn't really necessarily matter, I guess. I don't want to say matter,
well,
but it's like the way
that
she saw it or he saw it or whatever.
I think that they spent too much time on that story last week and not enough time on that story this week.
Yeah, because you just saw it and they didn't have to go into
and
that.
And it was sort of shoehorned in there, and you had to really, like, think about it and maybe rewatch to understand that the Doctor used to work for sort of like the Time Lord CIA. It's called the Division.
Isn't it?
And they erased her memory after missions, kind of like maybe on Dollhouse, where, like, every time they didn't know what they were, you know, or we don't know why, or maybe they just made her want her to think she only had 12 generations for some reason.
Yeah,
even
she
had unlimited.
Supposed to be the same as everyone else. I don't know if she necessarily.
But we don't know that for
division.
Sure.
She worked as a cop in that regeneration. I think it was just supposed to be that every 12 regenerations they
erased
her memory.
That was a total fake memory that they put in there to hide from
her
she'd been in the. Yeah.
Well, no, it's to hide from her that she. Who she was and that she had unlimited regenerations. I don't think it has anything to do with the division. I think the only part of the division is that their job is to erase her memory and make sure people don't know. That's
I think
what
she
I
might have legit.
It.
I think she might have legit worked for them.
Maybe, but because they showed two people. They kept remember that one woman was talking to the two people sitting at the desk, and it kept, like, flipping to Ireland and showing them as being the two men in Ireland in her fake memory.
No, I think it's a fake memory that they put into her brain to make her think she had this life in Ireland,
The fake memory of the two men in Ireland were supposed to be the two African American ones that they showed with a Time Lord talking to them. Those were those people, but she, like, saw it a fake way. But it was my understanding that those two people were the division. Like, that was their job, to erase her memory. I don't know. That's how I took it. I don't think it's necessarily relevant. But
I think after you do stuff, I think she legit worked for the division, and I think it was when she was Ruth, and that's why Ruth ran away and hid, because she couldn't come to terms with what she did when she was in the division. That's my theory.
That's an interesting
theory.
I haven't seen anybody say anything like that. But it's kind of interesting. I don't know. I think that whole thing was very confusing. So I think think that it's very possible we could both be wrong even. So, yeah. But overall, I think it was pretty good for a season finale. I really liked it. And I think the fact that it splits people, though, I don't think is necessarily a bad thing either, because it makes people talk about it, and that's kind of – but I don't know. The Doctor voice has changed. I'm fine with it.
So the word is that we may lose two companions. It looks like they'll all be in the Christmas in the Christmas show, but they haven't even started really. They're not going to start shooting next season until September, I think, which means it won't air until late 2021. Tosin Cole, in the meantime, has been cast as the lead in a new AMC show with a two year series. So it seems like he'll leave. I mean, the rumor is that it's going to be Yaz. However, I'm very intrigued by the introduction of all these new humans, these three new humans they brought to the 21st century, the three survivors who...
Do you think they might be back?
I think they may
be
recurring characters. Yes. I think they may become recurring characters. Well, I think they will.
I don't know.
I think they spent an awful lot of time with those characters and developing them and bringing them to live in Yaz and Graham's neighborhood have them be recurring.
That's the other thing, though, too. People are like, you know, they found a way to, that they're going to remove them and they didn't have to kill them or anything. But that's not necessarily true because we don't, although usually holiday specials end good. I don't think they'll kill one of them in the holiday special. But we don't really know for sure what's going to happen. But the only thing I'm not sure about, and I haven't seen it confirmed anywhere, it just says, festive special, holiday special. It doesn't actually say whether it's for Christmas or New Year's. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was New Year's again. But that's just my guess. I have no idea.
All right, well, time will tell.
I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I'd rather come fast, but I'm just saying. Yeah. All right. Well, but anyway, I think it was good. I'm excited for next year. Next season, I guess I should say, not necessarily next year.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Because it will be closer to 18 months before we get a new one, a new season. Yeah. So, all right, should we jump onto The Walking Dead?
Sounds good.
Okay.
So, do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first?
Well, I discussed Walking. I went first with the last show. You go first now.
Okay. There were things I liked about this and things I didn't like about it. The fact that Beta was able to like somehow crawl underground and come up through their grave, I think was stupid.
Yeah.
Really stupid. Yeah. I didn't see the point. I like the stuff with whatever you want to call her, Gamma, Mary, and getting them to trust her and her kind of flipping. And kind of how everything was set up and how they all left to go and that, you know, they should have stayed there. And, you know, obviously that wasn't her fault. Alpha was trying to screw her too. So that kind of stuff was okay. The whole thing though with like her going with him so they didn't get killed, I don't know. I don't want to say it was expected, but I just, for whatever reason, that part of the story didn't really hit me, you know, as hard. I think the best part of the episode, in my opinion, was with Alpha and Daryl and their whole kind of showdown and how they're both bleeding. They both seem to be dying, you know, and they're both... She's still fighting. I'm thinking she's calling. The only thing is she's calling the other walkers. I know she's got like a skin suit on or whatever, but she's still bleeding very badly. They'd have to be able to smell her, the alive human blood, I would think. But regardless, that's a whole other here or there. I do think the thing with Lydia was kind of interesting. Her coming back and, you know, leaving her mother and she came back for Daryl, saving him. But I would have liked her to have killed her mother, or at least attempted to. I know it's not going to happen, but it's kind of like, why are you letting her live? But it still worked. But yeah, I think, like I said, I think my favorite part was mostly that. I liked seeing Judith shoot Beta, if only it had worked. I'm trying to think if there's anything else specifically. I still think that Gabriel is a little far off there because of what had happened. I'm not so sure that he's in the right frame of mind. But like I said, I like the Beta stuff too. I just think a lot of it was kind of ridiculous, the way he got there and everything. So it made me like it a little less, I guess, would be the main thing I have to say.
Yeah.
So what about you?
I think it was a solid episode.
Yeah.
With, you know, there were some things to I mean, it's a vast improvement over some of the crap we've watched for the last 3 years, right? I think we have struggled for a long time with the writers not being able to tell two stories at once. We suffered through several seasons of, like, you know, single character episodes where we might not see Daryl but every four episodes, or Carol in every third or fifth episode,
yeah,
or something, as they, and because they couldn't tell two stories. And I think this new crew under Angela Kang is better at that. And I think this,
yeah,
week they were pretty well balanced. Like, I never once felt like, oh my God, this is so dumb, get back to the other story. Right. Like, I was equally interested in both of them. So that was good. So taking Mary's storyline first, and Gabriel, I think you're right. He's not in the frame of mind. It's interesting to see how far he's come over the time jump. Do I like this one better than Cowardly? I mean, I hated Cowardly Gabriel, but I kind of got it. His rage over Dante killing Sadiq on the one hand makes sense, but on the other hand, like, wasn't Sadiq a thorn in the side of his relationship with Rosita?
Yeah, I don't think it's so much him mad that he killed Sadiq. I think he's mad that the fact that he killed Sadiq affects Rosita and the baby. I think that he's mad because it hurt her. At least that's kind of how I feel about it.
Okay, all right.
More than anything, he's willing to torture people. So I'm not too down with that.
He's not very priestly anymore.
Yeah, that's kind of my point.
While I continue to not really buy a romantic relationship between Rosita and Gabriel because it was just presented to us as a fait accompli after the time jump, I do think this was the first time they maybe felt like a couple to me, where they were having this disagreement over, like, her state of mind and his, and should I stay or should I go on this, you know, mission kind of thing. They felt a little bit coupley to me for the first time. So that was good. I guess all of the Alexandria stuff, so the tunnel was dumb. So this episode was meant to be an homage to Halloween and, like, 1980 slasher flicks. And I read an interview with Angela Kang where she said one of the writers actually pitched it to her as a Halloween episode, like Halloween meets The Walking Dead. And so that bit with the hand coming out of the grave was like one of the Jason
Night of the Living Dead type of thing, I thought, to me. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it is patently ludicrous that Dante could dig a tunnel from the graveyard all the way out and under the other side and nobody ever noticed.
See, that's like, what I didn't quite get, that he was the one that did that until after. But yeah, I don't think that that's possible at all. And for him to do it and nobody noticed, it would have taken so long to do that. And there wasn't holes. So
it's
that
ridiculous.
Grave, second of all, I don't even remember whose grave was. But
it's ridiculous.
But yeah.
Like, did you ever see that movie where those guys dig a tunnel out of the Nazi prisoner of war camp in, like, that Steve McQueen movie, The Great Escape? It's based on a real story. It's based on a real story. It takes them years, and, like, they have to, like, put all this wood in there and build a frame so it doesn't collapse and stuff, right? It's a very compelling movie. You should watch it, but it's a classic. But there's no way that it was so ridiculous. And like,
one person couldn't have done it either, so.
Yeah, right? I mean, but I do think it was kind of like, it was very slasher flick and kind of scary
and
the
it
way
was surprising
was going around killing people.
There.
Yeah.
But
they
were surprised.
I love the part when those two red shirts were talking shit about how they were going to kill so many whispers, and then Bane is just like...
Yeah, it's like, goodbye. Yeah, that was kind of funny.
The other storyline, the Daryl storyline was pretty good. One reason this is better, and, you know, I'm seeing a lot of, like I said, I had little time to be on the internet, on the boards and stuff, but there are a few people saying, thank God Carol wasn't in this episode, which would be like heresy to say that up until this season, right? So Carol became like the worst character in the last like 8 episodes.
I still want to see her, but I hope they fix it, not because of what she did.
Yeah. But Daryl, like, getting in this, like, battle with, I kind of wanted Daryl to be the one to kill Alpha. I wanted Lydia to be, I knew Lydia wouldn't, and I liked the way they resolved it. Like, I agree with you that I was like, come on, Lydia, just kill her, but I like the way it's still her mother, and she couldn't do it. And when Daryl says, why didn't you do it, Lydia's like, you know, if it was your abuse, she doesn't say abusive, but, you know, she says it was your father, could you have done it? We know that Daryl comes from an abusive home where both his father and his brother abused him. And
it seems like he took it, too, to protect his brother, so...
Well, and look how much he like put up with from his crazy brother. Yeah, like I felt that was believable when like Lydia said that, and it was nice to see Lydia like make her choice. Not that there was ever any question in my mind.
No, but she definitely made a choice. She made it, and so Alpha does it too. Alpha can't be thinking, you know, well, I think she's still waiting for me or whatever. I mean, there's no doubt now.
I think there was almost a moment where you know that Daryl is not going to die, that Redis is like the leader of this cast and the main character of the show.
Yeah, but I was worried so bad was going to happen to him. I know. I kind of thought that too. I think it's the way they filmed it.
There was almost like legit fear that they could kill this guy off or that they could kill Alpha in that moment, which I was like, look, I'm getting really sick of Alpha. Like, she is more and more of a cuckoo. Right? I'm getting sick of... She's becoming a lot like Negan. Like, she never shuts up, talking some crazy talk like, I am you, and you are me, and I will bathe in their blood. Like, what? I'm not doing a good accent.
She might have
been
hallucinating,
this, like,
though, but still.
Whatever. It's bad dialogue.
I agree. I didn't like that part either. I just like the whole kind of cat and mouse thing and that scene between them.
I did.
Like the fights, Daryl fighting the walkers from like the ground when he still has a knife in his like you so knew he was going to take out the knife. Why do people do that?
Yeah.
I mean, I know he didn't have a choice, but it's always like, don't take out the knife. And that's like usually the first thing they do, and then they bleed all over the place.
I think this crew is, this team is overusing the blurred vision technique. So we saw it with Father Gabriel when he was losing his eyesight. We saw it with, was it Negan who was partially...
Was that the same team then, though? Wasn't that before Angel Kang, or am I wrong?
I don't know. But we saw it, I think, last season. Maybe it was Negan or someone who was partially... Someone was partially... Aaron got sprayed in the eyes, right? It was partially blinded, and
we
saw it.
That was last season, yeah.
Now we see Daryl, who's got blood in his eyes and everything's red, which I'm pretty sure that's not what it would look like if blood was in your eyes. And he never once wiped his face.
They never wipe their faces when they're covered with blood. I'm always annoyed by that and thinking that would have to feel horrible. You would at some point wipe
I could understand it with Daryl squinting and rubbing his face and maybe being like, oh, I can't see, right? Like, just feel like they're maybe leaning on that special effect a little bit. I texted you as soon as I saw it and was like, give me a break, right?
Yeah, yeah. And just like, wipe your face, which is exactly what I thought. Wipe your eyes.
But it was overall like a very tense and kind of well done fight scene with those two. It was a pretty decent episode. It had its drawbacks, it always does. I think typical problem with The Walking Dead. Can we just please end The Whisperers? Like, this was episode... Is this episode 10? Do I have to wait, like, 6 more episodes for this to be over? Because, like, Walking Dead doesn't know how to wrap up a storyline.
Yeah, you know, ever. I will say that. I know I always say it's better to have more of a show. But sometimes I think this show might benefit either from having less episodes, or if not that, I don't know, necessarily needs less episodes. But what it needs to be is, if you're going to have a story about one villain... Don't stretch it past the season, because that is the thing I think they make the worst. They get you to the point where it's like a really good villain, but they make it last so long, it's like, God, be done with it already, and then it's not interesting anymore.
Well, it's like they learned nothing from the all-out war story arc, which was Alexandria versus the Saviors, which is like roundly criticized as possibly the worst story arc and Walking Dead, because it was went on for like 3 seasons with the Saviors, and people still talk about how All Out War took forever and wouldn't end, and like Angela Kang, I would hope would like really be taking a lesson from that, and trying to move the story along, and like how many weeks do we just see filthy people in the woods talking nonsense? The more time we have to waste following Alpha around, the less credible of a monster she becomes. Like, it's harder and harder for me to understand why people follow her.
Yeah, I
agree. Why wouldn't everybody just line up outside Alexandria?
for nothing else. And I'm wondering if that's why, talking about this, I kind of wonder if that's why a lot of times Fear the Walking Dead we liked better. I have to say, in Fear the Walking Dead, they'd have like a few storylines per season. Like, they'd get through it. They usually didn't drag it that long. And I think that was probably one of the better parts about it, which I hadn't thought about. But, of course, now we have a new one coming to find out if it's any good. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sort of dreading that. She's difficult for me to understand, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
But it's time for Alpha to be killed and wrapped up. She's becoming, less and less, believable as a villain, and why people are afraid of. I can see why you're afraid of Beta, but Alpha, I mean, at least she finally killed someone herself.
Yeah, she wouldn't necessarily be able to enforce it. Like, because she's still, small. Like, I feel like people could take her, but he's, huge, and he, enforces her rules. So it's kind of like both of them together are the force, I guess, that people are afraid of. But yeah, I definitely agree. It's gone on long enough. They need to move on. I don't know why they need another spinoff. I feel like if you've got more good zombie stories to tell, then tell them and get off the crap, you know? They just want to suck it out of everything it's worth, so.
Yeah.
That's what they do. All right. Well, I guess that's it for that.
Unless you have
anything else, Ed? No, I just wanted to, before I went, I wanted to talk about a couple things really quick, and then AJ can jump in. Now, you said you saw part of Dispatches from Elsewhere, but you really didn't like it a whole lot, right?
I just thought it was boring.
I said before, I think it's kind of a show either you like it or you don't. I liked kind of watching them follow the clues and that, and I think that it does get better the further you get into it, but I knew that, I didn't know if you would. I knew, it's just that kind of show, which also was the other thing I wanted to talk about really quick was Devs, which comes out starting Thursday on FX on Hulu, which I found out after researching is actually free as long as you're a member of Hulu. And they're dropping the first two episodes Thursday, and then it's going to be weekly. But I really like this show. It's a mystery show. It's weird. It's sci-fi. But it's one of those shows where if you're somebody who needs to understand things or get an answer right away, you're not going to like it. And that's just kind of the way the show is. I feel like this show, they did the way they wanted to do, and it's done. I mean, I think so far I really like it. But even after watching the first two episodes they sent, I'm still not sure exactly what the plot is. I mean, I have an idea, but it's, really, really not really explained at all. But it's basically about this guy who works in AI, and he's invited by his boss, who's played by – now I hate that when I, blank out on names, even though it's, right in there in my head. The one that's from the Kraft show, Nick Offerman. He plays the villain, and I've never seen him in anything serious. I mean, he's dark in this. Definitely not what I expected. He's good in it. But he has him join this devs team, which they work at this big computer machine, and they really don't, again, they don't really say what it is. You get kind of glimpses through the first two episodes of trying to figure it out. But he, because of some things that happen, and it even says it in the description, so I can say it, he ends up getting killed. And his girlfriend, what the main part of the story is she's a coder, another computer programmer, and she wants to find out what happened, and maybe he wasn't even who she thought he was, and it's kind of like this, I don't know what it helps. It's hard. It's really hard to explain. Let's just be honest. But it's good, and it's kind of twisty. I think it's going to be even more twisty the more it comes. But it is one of them. You're not going to get answers or understand what's going on right away. So if you want that, you probably won't like it. But if you're like me and you like that kind of stuff, then you might. It has some really weird visuals too, which make it interesting. At the beginning, in the yard of where the building is, there's this huge, and I mean huge, I don't know, I'm bad at guessing amounts, but, I don't know, 50, probably more than 50 feet tall, humongous statue of guy's daughter. It's freaky, and it's just, in the middle of the grounds, and it just makes it kind of interesting. The whole show is kind of like that. It's just strange, but yeah, so that's coming on. I don't know. I think you guys might like it, but lately you haven't liked the things I have, so that's why I'm saying it's definitely not going to give you answers, at least for the first two. It sounds like, from what I've heard, the rest of them are not very much more forgiving in that sense. But I never mind that. And that's the other thing I wanted to say to you, too, and then I'm done. I just wanted to say, I was thinking about it, how, like, I like all the twists and that in Doctor Who. I know a lot of times I like things like that and some people don't. I think that's why I like something like when I always loved Helix. Like, I love sometimes just the crazy shit they do on shows. As long as I can, for the most part, get it connected, I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. But anyway, so that's coming. Mm-hmm. And then also Westworld's coming, which I think you had mentioned at the beginning.
March
so that's 15th. Very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, that's all I've seen. So I will go. Have fun. Hi, AJ. I never barely get to talk to you anymore. Hello. But have a good rest of the show. I'd sometimes stay, but I do eventually want to watch Manifest. I just, well, you know how I am. It's going to be a
I
while,
know.
To put it that way, but I will eventually watch it. Oh, and speaking of watching it, I don't know why I'm saying this because I'm not behind, but it made me remember. Magicians is done after this season. Apparently it was canceled. I thought it had only been renewed for this season. Like, I thought that was supposed to be the end, so I apparently misremembered. But, yeah, so it's over, and I guess they sort of rewrote the ending to make it end, I guess, somewhat. And the other thing, there's also Vagrant Queen coming on Sci-Fi as well.
Oh, yeah, I keep seeing that advertised, yeah.
Yeah, which for the male lead stars, Tim, I'm like just thinking Tim, and I'm bringing his name, from Wynonna. But obviously the times that are filming have been, I think, a lot different than the other shows, so I don't think that necessarily means anything, but hopefully not, because I like them on Wynonna too. But, yeah, so that's coming up as well.
Okay, great. Good
All
to
right.
know.
Well, you guys finish the show. Have a good night.
All right. Good
okay,
night, Jamie.
You too,
bye
Jamie.
Bye.
Have a good week.
Okay,
talk to you soon.
You too.
Hi, AJ. Welcome
and then
back.
There were two.
And then there were two.
So, before we get into Manifest, I have a Mr. Robot piece of information.
Oh. Okay.
So I haven't really, you know how much I love the show, but I haven't really worried. It's over. I was happy with it. I haven't really thought much about it since. But Artie, being a teenager, and he's on Reddit and all over the damn internet, he came across something which I thought was really ironic, because you and I had always commented on Elliot and his damn hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it has come out now that if you think about it, except for maybe a handful of scenes, Elliot was Clue, because Mr. Robot never changes his attire. Mr. Robot always looks the same. The only thing that's different with Mr. Robot is sometimes his jacket has black lining, sometimes his jacket has red lining. It's the only difference with Mr. Robot. Same with Elliot. Elliot had the same wardrobe throughout the entire show, minus a couple scenes where, like, when we first made it all safe, he had on that nice shirt. But prior to that, he had on the hoodie, you know? And so that was apparently one of the clues that he was actually a personality and not the actual Elliot. That's all.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. We should have noticed that.
Anyway,
a long time ago.
On to something that doesn't make sense. Manifest.
Okay. Manifest.
Manifest.
I have thoughts. Do you have thoughts, AJ?
I don't
pick
know
a character. Pick a character and discuss their ridiculous motives.
Right. We'll start
or lack thereof.
We'll start with we'll start with Jared. Piss myself off to start with.
Oh my God.
I mean, Jared himself has been very tolerable. I haven't had a problem with him. I still think he's undercover. What I did not like is after Michaela and her partner there figure everything out, and they go to the captain, and they do it all by the book and everything, the captain's like, all right, I'll handle this from here. And Michaela's a little perturbed, but I agree with the captain. It's, you know, something like this, the captain needs to deal with it now. Michaela did her part, you know. And then when you see her talking to Jared later, and she plays the tape, she's like, we have a problem. And then it cuts away. Here's my problem. I don't like the ambiguity that they gave us there. I feel like I feel like the captain is well aware of what Jared's doing. I don't think it's we have a problem, you're in deep shit. I think it's we have a problem, Michaela figured you out. And if that's the case,
I agree with you.
I have a problem because while I understand the captain's need for secrecy in the matter, I think when Michaela comes to her with this, I think that's when the captain needs to say, close the door, this doesn't leave the room. Because you have two cops who now think that another cop is dirty. They have evidence of it, and you're just going to tell them to go. And if you know if it is an undercover operation and you're aware of it, you got to bring those two into it, especially when they figured this out on their own.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be leading to trouble if they don't know more of it and what's going on. And I am afraid that they're not going to tell them, that they're going to continue down the road they're on. I think that's a huge, huge mistake and problem with this show, that there's certain times they just don't do things that make sense. You know, you see other cop shows that they do bring people into the fold when they, you know, because otherwise it's going to blow up in your face.
Yeah, I think they wanted to have a cliffhanger, and I think it was a clumsy, poorly written cliffhanger, because the cliffhanger is like, we have a problem, and I guess for people that don't listen to our show and don't hear the theory, your theory of Jared, or haven't thought of it themselves, like, they're going to think, oh my God, the captain's in on it too. Are they trying to create that cliffhanger for people to think like, oh my God, the captain's also an ex or the whole police department. But I think it could have been a good, equally good cliffhanger to say, for the captain to say, we have a problem. Michaela figured it out. I mean, is basically what she said, right? Or Michaela, you know,
right.
Like they could have left it like, we have a problem. Michaela figured out you're undercover. And that's still a good cliffhanger. Or, yeah, they need to read her in. On the one hand, I understand why maybe to have other cops believe Jared is dirty is key to him being accepted by the Xers, right? Like the Xers have to believe that he's gone against the police, and it helps for other police to believe that. So they see, like, something like what Michaela just did underscores that she's bought it, right? But I think you're right that there's a point where the captain, any legitimate, like, human being would be like, okay, we got to read her in. And, like, you're right. Come in the room. This doesn't leave the room. Like, he's undercover. I think for Michaela to have that information is very dangerous because she'll screw it up like she does everything. But that's part of the story, right? Like, Michaela can't butt out. She'll be like, Jared, let me help you. Let me, you know, she'll blow it. She'll totally blow it because she's the worst cop in New York, right?
We're going to have the opposite here, though. The opposite's going to happen here. She's going to be like, I can't believe the captain hasn't done anything. She hasn't even questioned him. He hasn't been arrested. We need to do this on our own. And they're going to end up screwing it up in that fashion.
Yes.
I mean, we've already seen Michaela go undercover with Zeke. And
that was ridiculous.
That was not pretty. That was
her instincts. Yeah, that was horrible. That was not pretty. And her instincts are so bad. Like, they see Jared go into the bar, and Mikhail's like, I'm going in. And her partner, who's like practically a rookie, has to say to her, it's an extra bar. You're on People Magazine every week because you're from the flight, and it's a bad idea. And why don't I just go in there instead of you, right? Like, her partner has to explain to her why it's – like, why couldn't Michaela be a decent cop and say, oh, I can't go to an extra bar. They'll recognize me. Why don't you go in? Right? Like, why
do
you have to make her be stupid? She made detective. She should be smart. What's the worst part, AJ?
It's NBC.
Yeah.
And NBC thinks NBC thinks we're stupid. I don't think she was explaining to Michaela why she couldn't go in the bar. I think they were explaining to the audience why she couldn't go in the bar.
Yeah,
because
we're the stupid ones. You're right.
Michaela isn't that stupid, and that's the problem, is they make her that stupid so they can explain stuff to us. I've started feeling that way. I mean, I always worry about NBC because of our history.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Every week, it more and more, it feels like it every single week. I mean, like, we got exposition from Olive this week. We knew already that about TJ's mother, you know, being a Buddhist and everything. We already knew all this information, and we knew about the ceremony he performed for his mother. Why did Olive need to explain it to us again to Ben?
Because wait, I'm sorry, you cut out there. What? Oh, yeah, because we're, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We're stupid viewers.
Yeah.
You know, that was another, I mean, did you, I mean, neither one of us thought that TJ was dead.
No.
You know, I said it last week. No body, no dead. You know, and even this week.
No body,
bracelet,
no dead, yeah.
I was like, oh. I was like, Isaiah ripped the damn bracelet or necklace, whatever it was she gave him. He ripped it off last week. We saw it happen. So immediately
yeah, we saw the bracelet fall, yeah.
And
yeah.
Then immediately, you know, that's, you know, and the best part is they're like tall male. Isaiah was short.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and if you didn't, yeah, that, I mean, so there's that storyline, which we haven't really talked about. And I do, there were a couple things going on about the storyline that were okay, but a little annoying. I think that we had the situation. So I was a little bit like, as far as I could tell, Olive went on one date with this boy and kissed him once. And it's advanced to like, she's lost, you know, I think her father says she's lost the first love of her life. I get that a little teenage girl could think he's the love of her life after one date, right? Or that they could, like, be in love or whatever. But, like, there's a lot of, like, I guess they have to advance that storyline pretty quickly because it would just be boring to watch Olive date this boy for a while, right? Anyway, they devoted an awful lot of time to his funeral, his Buddhist DIY service or whatever. And I didn't believe he was dead either, but I thought to myself, if he really is dead, they are devoting way too much time to a character who appeared in, I think, 4 episodes, right? Like, he's a new character, really. Mm-hmm. And they devoted a lot of time to his, like, funeral, which, of course, I mean, we knew he wasn't going to be dead, right? But I think that if you really thought he was dead, that was a lot of time to spend on him. I hope he's going to have a bigger role. They're spending a lot of time on TJ in general, right? I better be in service to Olive's development.
Well, I think it's going to be in service to all things. I think TJ and Olive have lately figured out more than Ben has. They've been very instrumental in a lot of this stuff.
They have.
I mean, they figured out
all.
I mean, Ben wouldn't even have that book if it wasn't for the two of them.
Yeah.
But I think the TJ stuff in this episode, it's twofold. Because, one, we never thought he was dead.
Yeah.
But if he was dead, his death is in vain because his death is in service of the main characters. That's what his death would have been. It would have been in service of the main characters.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but as it turned out, he's alive. So that whole everything leading up to it. That was in service of Ben and Olive, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you hear Ben throughout the episode, he's like you know, all I've done is push her away since I got back, and just that, you know, and it's like, well, yeah, because you're an idiot, but that's all that was. It just brought them closer in the episode. That's all it did. That was the only service of this entire storyline, you know?
Yeah.
I was happy, however, with how it turned out, because like the whole time I'm like, he's in that, you know, I didn't realize he was going to be under, you know, in like a sub floor basement or something, but I knew that was connected to him. I'm like, these, you know, chantings, I was like, it's leading them to him, you know, that was pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So I did like the fact that it wasn't an easy place to access that they were. I thought that was done well, because like it's one of those where like at first I'm thinking he's going to end up in this Buddhist monastery. And he's going to be in a coma or something. And they're going to be like, you know, to say to the people, well, why didn't you take him to a hospital? Oh, we weren't sure what we should do. And that, I felt like there was going to be some stupid explanation to why they kept this person who's unconscious in a bed, you know, fixing him, you know? So I'm glad they didn't go that route with it, because that's really where I thought they were going to go.
Yeah.
So at least, you know,
yeah,
why he hadn't accessed, you know, gotten out himself or whatever, or anybody found him yet, made that part of it made sense. But it was actually, it was funny. When Olive kicked the grate, I was like, well, he's dead now because the grate just landed on him. Because she...
I know, right? He shoved it out, and he's down there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a huge wrought iron grate.
You can't see. She just kicked mm-hmm. the grate. I mean, she seriously, she could have done him some serious damage.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so they did have a lot of work to do to bring... I mean, Olive's been sort of all over the place this season. Olive's been, like, the best character, and she's been all over the place. And
yeah.
And they drove her and her father very far apart. Something's up with my phone. They drove her and her father very far apart, so they needed to find a way to, like, bring them back together. Olive is still... Like, I'm not totally buying Olive, like, resisting the callings and saying, I don't care what the call... I don't want to help you with the calling. I don't care what the calling wants. I know that she is a teenage girl and they can be inconsistent and moody, and she was devastated at the loss of her boyfriend. But Olive, as you said, like, has bought in big time and solved a lot of clues and made a lot of progress and seen what the callings can do. And for her to, like, it's been so hard to, like, get behind her storyline that I have to keep chalking up to, oh, 16, right?
Right.
I think the part where she feels left out in the one part makes the most sense, and the other part makes no sense for her family to act like that because she's done so much. But, like, Al's reaction makes sense, right, to them treating her that way.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, her saying, screw the callings, I'm doing this for TJ, makes sense because what do the callings have done for her? You know, she's helped figure them out.
Mm-hmm.
She's getting no recognition. She gets no recognition.
No credit.
You know?
Yeah.
She gets pushed aside. You know, and now because of this whole mess, you know, this, you know, her first love is dead, you know, so she's like, screw the calling,
yeah.
You know, like, I'm here, you know,
yeah.
I'm not doing this for the callings, I'm doing it for TJ, so I get that. Switching gears slightly, what do you think about taking Cal and sending him to Grandpa's for the entire episode?
Like, I wonder if the kid went on, did the actor go on vacation or something? Like, for Cal to,
well,
Cal.
I think they haven't done shit with him this season.
No, they haven't. But Cal has been positioned for all of last season as having extraordinary callings and greater powers than everybody else and his drawings and all that. Like, this was a time that Cal should have drawn a picture of a great or something, right? Like, usually
yeah.
Cal shares the calling with them and plays a role. He's so tied into father and his aunt's callings. I mean, it's interesting the calling sort of left Michaela out this week. I don't know why they have sidelined Cal so heavily. He does seem, if you saw the promo for next week, he seems to be back and possibly have a big role. I don't know. I struggle with the callings a little bit. On the one hand, the calling of the week was always sort of a good thing when it went well, when it made sense. When we were in season one, meeting a new passenger every week and having a new calling every week kind of thing. And they were always tied to a passenger in some way. Like, that made sense. The callings are getting weirder. They're getting, I don't know. They're, like, I also sort of, we have really, in addition to sidelining Cal, they've sidelined the government conspiracy, the major, all of that story. Like, once the major, like, ran off with the rats and left the apple, like, the NSA seems to have been like, okay, we're done. No more helping you, right? And, like,
yeah.
That storyline, which is sort of compelling. Like, I don't really care where the plane was and what happened. Like, just, like, we didn't need to really know the mystery of the island on Lost. I don't really need to know where that plane was.
Right.
I do like the storyline of the government trying to, like, capitalize on these people's powers and find out, and maybe knowing, like, the conspiracy is a good part. And unfortunately, all we're getting right now is stupid Sanvi, which now we know why doctors shouldn't test random concoctions on themselves, because it makes them go have sex they can't remember. I mean, I guess they didn't have sex, they just made out, but that was so dumb. It was just a kiss, but do you think she doesn't remember, or she's like, what? Like, what?
No,
what?
I really think she doesn't remember.
She speaks to Zeke, and Zeke's like, oh, I love Michaela so much. And Tommy's like, oh, when you love someone like that, you really should, you know, hold on to it, whatever, blah, whatever she said, blah, blah. And then she goes and stalks her ex, and they kiss, and then she's like, I have no memory. What? Why? I don't even understand why the mystery concoction would make her do that. Like, is it giving her memory loss, or is it making her, like, stalk loved ones? Like, what? What?
Well,
she's the worst doctor ever.
I really think they got new writers this season, because Olive's been inconsistent, you know. Sanvi was not like this last season. This is awful.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. This is her theory, okay, is that removing the gene marker that all the 828ers have, and Zeke and the other guy that drowned, okay, removing that marker, she believes is going to remove the death date. There is no guarantee of that. All you did was make yourself crazy, and now you can't get Collins.
No, she actually has no evidence or reasoning to back that up at all, right?
No.
Like,
except
I don't,
for the fact that
like,
she
it makes no sense why a genetic marker is matched to the Collings anyway, because they, I don't know, like.
Well, I'm sure we'll find that. Well, sure we'll find that out eventually, but.
Yeah. It makes, but she made it up in her head, and.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why can't she test it on some more rats?
Okay.
Like, go ahead.
Why test it on anyone? Figure out another way to stop the death date.
Yeah. Well, she never completed her rat testing, and just because her rats got kidnapped, she's like, I better do myself instead. Well, get some more rats. Do some more scientific testing. Like, no legit...
Yeah.
I mean, okay, there have been a couple of doctors in history that made, like, there was some doctor that, like, injected himself with a vaccine to, like, prove it or whatever, but I mean, and now
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah, and now she's going to try on Zeke. So Zeke's getting magic frostbite because he's basically reliving the cave, kind of. Like, he's in his...
Well,
like, his death date is much closer,
like,
because
guy.
He was only 6 months in the cave, right?
Gone a...
Yeah.
No, he's gone a year. But it's like right, that,
but you're...
That bad guy that...
the drowning
survived
guy.
And then,
yeah.
And then he drowned, yeah. So, I mean, that's what's happening with Zeke. It's just, it's progressing slower with Zeke because he still has 6 months.
Yeah.
Ironically, though, giving Zeke the quote-unquote cure, he actually is the best person to test it on, because in 6 months, she'll know if it works or not. If he lives, zombie, you solve the puzzle. If not,
So that actually really makes sense, because he is in danger of dying. So test it on him to save his life, right? Because that's really a desperate situation and you have no other choice. But testing it on yourself when you're healthy and there's no real urgency is just some false, like, martyrdom kind of business, right?
They still have they still have 4 years. Their death date is June 2024.
Right. So why she has to test it on herself right now, what's the urgency? They have 4 years, right? Zeke, test it on Zeke. Zeke might be like, whatever, fine. Of course, is Zeke going to go around making out with people?
Well, yeah, just Michaela, though.
But
not for nothing. You know, and you don't even have to give it to him now. I mean, granted, he's got the frostbite on his hand, so maybe you might want to, if you give it to him now, and the frostbite goes away, okay, you might have something here. But if it doesn't go away, all you did was take away his callings. And now he's going to be Looney Tunes and not remember shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
I can't.
I know. It's not completely without it's not completely without merit, this show. Like I still, you know, it still has some, it's still okay. It's not like we just spent an hour tearing it apart, but it has some, you know,
but
I'm interested in some of the things that
I
see. Right?
Yeah, I mean,
and
that's the thing, you know, we do tend to focus on the negative that bothers us with the show, but there are good things too. You know, I mean,
yeah,
the overall premise is pretty good. And I think part of it too is we just want to know, where the hell is it going?
Well, yeah. And could some of it, like...
Actually, no, okay. I've got something I like, actually. I do like the professor as the quote-unquote big bad. I do kind of like him being behind the Xers. Because here you have, you know, he's not some hoodlum in a bar, you know? This guy is a renowned professor, you know, who's just scared like everybody else. I mean, and that's what the story's about. I mean, everybody's just scared just like, you know,
mm-hmm.
of change and things that are different. I mean, our history is full of it, you know? But I like having a legitimate person like him be the leader of the Xers and not some hothead. Like, I mean, Jared's new buddy there. Like, could you imagine if he was the leader of the Xers? That,
mm-hmm.
you know, that then it's just, it's still, everything's still a hate crime, but it just doesn't feel as, it's more calculated and makes more sense. I liked those scenes, seeing him take the pictures of everything and trying to figure out what the hell Ben's doing and what's going on and everything, you know? Like, to me, that's a legitimate villain. He's scary because you're never going to guess that it's him, and he's methodical, you know?
Yeah.
People, you know, the villains that are all up in your face, those are the ones that were always like, yeah, whatever.
Kind of like that part where he was like, listen, Jared, like, you're valuable, but that other guy, we can't have him. Like, he's too nutty. He's going to get us in trouble. We don't want, you know. I mean, he didn't outright disavow violence, but he did say, like, that guy's going to, like, hurt our cause and make us look bad.
Right.
Like, he's thinking he's smart. I hadn't thought of this until right now, but the way he's going through, like the pictures and everything, I mean, he's a better adversary and a better villain, but he also, I feel like, because he's, like, smart and normal, he could potentially, like, could he come around to be, like, by next season, be, like, their friend and helping them or something.
Right.
And just,
well, let's not
because
forget.
Because he's...
Grease had the calling about his wife, which hasn't been resolved.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. And they haven't had that in a while. Open her eyes, right?
Yep.
Open her eyes. So I guess, maybe it is to open her eyes that her husband is, you know, wrong or whatever. But he's a way better villain.
Which is funny because we still haven't resolved the first villain of the major.
No, we haven't. She's still out there and like, still, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right, well...
All right.
Hopefully things get better and Sanvi stops being stupid.
Oh, my God. If Sanvi
was stopping being stupid,
that would be a huge
plus. I went from hating Jared because he's such a jerk to hating Sanvi because she's so stupid.
There's a new person to hate every week, right?
No, lately it's just Zombie.
Sadly. Lately it's just
like
Zombie,
the same episode.
It's the worst.
It was like I stopped hating Jared and started hating Zombie in the same episode. And then every time, once in a while, they sprinkle Grace at me.
Yeah, she didn't really have anything to do that made her annoying this week.
No. No. Mm. She actually made sense this week.
Yeah.
She was actually the voice of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I really think they have new writers.
Yeah.
Because Because even Ben's actions, I mean, I don't know, just everything with him and Olive, and it doesn't feel as contained as last year. Like, people, at least
yeah.
when people did stupid shit last year, they continue to do stupid shit, you know? Like, everybody
yeah.
was very consistent last year. This year, I don't feel a consistency.
Like, instead of doing stuff that's true to their character, they're doing stuff that's needed for the story.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Perfectly
yeah, it's a little
stated.
Annoying. Yeah.
All right. Well.
All right.
We'll do it again next week, and hopefully he'll have nicer things to say about Manifest.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll have a better episode next week. All right. Great. Then you guys you have a good week, too.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you.
You too. We'll be back next week with The Walking Dead and Manifest, and then for the next 2 weeks, it's just going to be the two shows, and then we'll be adding.
Can I, before we hang up, have you seen the trailer for Westworld Season 3?
Yeah, we had a text conversation.
We did? We had a text conversation about it. We haven't talked about it on the show. Oh, my God.
No.
I have no idea how we get there from here.
Yeah, I don't know either.
My rewatch. I just started season two, and it's going to be an amazing third season of Westworld.
And they added Aaron, and I did not know this until I saw the preview, but Aaron Paul, who has
yeah.
been added to the cast, which most people
yeah.
know him from Breaking Bad. So,
I think my favorite part of the trailer is when Dolores says, if it doesn't work, we'll just do it the old-fashioned way. And I think it's Aaron Paul who says, what is that? And she says, I kill everyone.
Yeah.
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 It's going to be
so
good.
All right, get your rewatch done. We got 2 weeks for that.
All right.
Week and a half, really. Okay.
Talk to you.
All right, everybody. Have
Talk
a good
to
night.
You next week. All right.
Bye, AJ.
Bye.